today, we have another win, not in the Supreme Court, but an amicus win that in the 10th Circuit that, you know, I'm pretty happy with, Mark. This is Johnson v. Justin Smith. And it was
The memorable name, Johnson v. Smith.
Yes, exactly. And our local counsel was actually Mark Chenoweth, who is a Kansas attorney.
It's true, yeah.
And so what happened here is that there was a fellow who trains dogs and keeps them in a kennel as he trains them. Brittany Spaniels, I think, Mark?
That's right, yep.
And so these Brittany Spaniels are chained to hunt and, you know, and he has them, and people send them from all over the country, or at least all over Kansas, to train. And there's a law in Kansas that you have to be available to have your kennel inspected, even if it's in your home. You have to have a kennel within a half hour of being notified. So they can show up on half hour's notice to go check that you're doing something to the dogs.
And this was Kansas had a puppy mills problem for a while, and I think that's probably where this came from. Even though this isn't, you know, this guy isn't breeding dogs; he's training them. But the same law sounds like that would apply to a puppy mill situation,
right? And he's not selling them, right?
Correct.
So he has no incentive to just like generate dogs or anything,
and no incentive to maltreat them because they're other people's dogs
to that, because I think that's so. The question was, can you have a warrantless search of this property? And if you remember for the Mexican Gulf case, there was this issue of whether you're a closely regulated industry. And that means that from the inception of that industry, was it regulated a lot by the government? Did it have some reason that it was always being regulated so that you basically lost your expectation of privacy? And there's a number of factors that go into that. And in the Mexican Gulf case, they found that it wasn't closely regulated, but they said one thing that bothered me. There's a Supreme Court case. It's the one issue we lost, which was there's a Supreme Court case called Patel that's kind of shows that one thing about a closely regulated industry is it has to be dangerous, right? It's explosives. It's metal junkyards where they're disposing of all kinds of things that have been – according to the court, closely regulated from the beginning, nuclear material, mining, things that can collapse on you, you know. Brittany Spaniels are some of the least dangerous dogs I can think of.
They're really friendly. We had one growing up. I loved Meg. She was a great dog. And, you know, my dad spent hours in the backyard. Training Meg. Yeah. And
I think that's what Jonah Goldberg has, that he's always tweeting out and whatever the dog's saying in the mind. And then he says, oh, and I love you. Let me put it this way. The Secret Service has nothing to fear from these dogs.
Yeah, no.
And
a really gentle mouth too, which is important for a retriever because
– for birds.
Yeah, you don't want the dog to chomp into the bird when they're bringing it back to you.
Right. So here's what the court said. The 10th Circuit – looked at this, and the district court had just they'd lost on everything. They said it's closely regulated. They said that there was good reason for this, and you don't need a warrant. And they'd just gone through, and they'd lost on everything.
Must have been an Obama appointee there in the federal district court in Kansas. I can't imagine how they got it so wrong at the district court
level.
And
who brought this case?
This was Sam McRoberts at the Kansas Justice Institute.
Kansas Justice Institute, that's the name. And Sam,
a good friend, an ally of NCLA.
Yes. And
went to the opera with us actually last month. I probably shouldn't say that to all his friends in Kansas.
Exactly. Well, you know, he does have an operatic beard. You know, But in any event, but here's what they really got. The 10th Circuit went through, and it basically said to be closely regulated, you need all these things. It has to be. There can't be another reason, like a good substitute for a warrant. There has to be a good substitute. There's a number of things, but also they said you have to show that it's dangerous. And they cited Patel, and I was very excited about that because I think now the 10th Circuit is in conflict with the 5th Circuit on what you need for closely regulated, and I was originally disappointed in the case because I was like, well, why didn't they just say it's not closely regulated and be done with it? Well,
they said there weren't enough facts, right?
That's right. So
because the district court had kind of jumped to conclusions too quickly.
Exactly. I think that's what happened. But when you read the opinion, they said, well, look, is there a reason why they can't get a warrant? Is there a reason why it has to be a half hour? Is there a reason why this is dangerous? And then they use something. We haven't talked about law and economics, which was really big when I was a young lawyer in the 80s and 90s and Posner, all that. And it's kind of been rejected for some reasons. You don't see it as much because of textualism, originalism. But it has, I thought, in this case and some other cases, an important they talk about motives and dangerousness. If you're talking about a likelihood of something bad happen, either a dangerous thing or something negative for the public, this guy has every incentive to treat these dogs well because he's not breeding them. He's not, you know, getting rid of them. He is training other people's dogs. And they're not going to give him these dogs if he's doing anything bad to them. There's non-regulatory breaks on his activity. And the fact that the Tenth Circuit mentioned that is important, I think, going forward, because you do have to look at the industry for closely regulated, right?
And if
and if you're looking at whether or not they have an incentive to create the negative externalities, I'd say that the Supreme Court seems to want before it'll grant closely regulated status. I think that it's good that you take into account the motivations that are set up in that industry. And like mining was always a dangerous industry from, you know, prehistory. So
sure. Well, imagine, I think this is illegal in every state, but suppose that you had a state where they allowed you to breed dogs for fighting. Right. Like Michael Vick and the and the pit bulls. Right. So that would potentially, you could argue, would be a dangerous,
very dangerous, you
know, sort of situation, right? And maybe a different regulatory regime that maybe that would be closely regulated if it were lawful. But not this. I think, John, when we were looking at this originally, we said, well, wait a minute, if this is a closely regulated business, then everything's a closely regulated business. I mean, this is right.
And the law just came in 1972. And that's not that long ago. And they also said that, it had precursors and all this, but it wasn't like this. It was mainly like noise ordinances, so your dogs weren't barking, which is a different thing.
Yeah.
So I do think that this is an important case now that I've looked at it, because I think it was remanded to the district court with enough instructions to say, don't do this again.
Yeah, I think it was take the hint. Like we're not gonna sort of rub your nose in it, to if I can use that metaphor, but you need to get this right on remand.
Exactly. So what was your takeaways?
You know, I was very happy. Well, we talked briefly about the fact that they didn't side, the Tenth Circuit didn't buy the argument that Kansas Justice Institute put out on the right to travel.
Right. And let me just tell you. So the idea behind that is since you had to be on a half hour call, that you could never travel anywhere because you couldn't even go out to get milk. I know I'm being stereotypical, but I think that sometimes I would think that the stores in Kansas are farther away than they are in the places I live.
Well, they only have to be 15 minutes away, you know, for the round trip.
Right? So that's true.
To be away for 30 minutes. But no, in this particular case, what was happening, because Scott Johnson was showing these dogs around the country and doing, you know, going to trials and right. You know, dog trials and trainings and things. And so his wife, Harlene Hoyt, who is a nurse at the local hospital, would have to leave in the middle of her shift to come home and meet the inspector. And you can imagine that the hospital doesn't like nurses leaving in the middle of a shift, right? So that's the, you know, that was sort of where the rubber hit the road for them. And, you know, so they were concerned about it from that perspective too. And we didn't weigh in on that. And you know, the court didn't agree with that for whatever reason. But the fact that the court honed in on this closely regulated Fourth Amendment exception and said, this, you know, one of these doesn't look like the others, right? This isn't the kind of closely, right? This isn't a scrapyard. This isn't a nuclear regulatory sort of issue.
Not a mine. It's not going to explode. None of the Britney Spaniels are going to explode.
No, this is a mom and pop business, if there ever was one. And in this case, literally mom and pop business. And so, so I think the court got it right here. And, you know, I did want to give a shout out to Jessica Moeller, who was our summer law clerk from the University of Chicago. Jessica, I heard about this case, and I think we kind of heard about it a little bit on the late side or something, or I can't remember now exactly the details, but I remember thinking, gosh, I mean, this is in my home state. It involves Brittany Spaniels. I love Brittany Spaniels. And it was the same issue you'd been working on in the Mexican Gulf case on Closely Regulated. And I said, Jessica, can you take the great work that John did in the Mexican Gulf case and can you sort of, you know, find some good Tenth Circuit stuff and can you, you know, sort of turn this into a brief? Well, she's a law student and she's not written a brief before, right? But she did in short time, she did a very credible job of turning around a brief, working with Andy Morris on this, and was able to give me something that I could work on over the weekend and essentially hammer the final thing into shape, and was very happy with her. So congratulations to Jessica and to Andy for this amicus win as well.
Yeah, and that is important because I do recall that. There was not a lot of time for whatever reason. But the other thing I want to point out about this case, which I want to spread to other circuits, the problem that Justice Brennan pointed out with this closely regulated theory back even in the 70s is that, well, can they just keep regulating and regulating and regulating and then take away your Fourth Amendment rights that way? And if this doctrine allows that to happen, then it's a bad doctrine.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have dangerousness in there, you don't cabin it. I think the Supreme Court really has to take a look at this again and make that tighter. Because in the Ninth Circuit, they're making closely regulated. They were going to make anything, hotels, anything. Whereas in the Fifth, they've pretty much said, we're not making any more closely regulated. So this is a great win for our friends. I think it's the right decision. I think what we're going to see on remand is the judge gets the message and they're going to say, no, you can't just not have – you have these types of searches whenever you want. And so that's good for everyone. It's good for liberty. I think it's good for making sure the law doesn't just explode with closely regulated companies.
Good for Kansans. Good for Brittany Spaniels. I think everyone wins. It's a good result.
Exactly.